next guest on the program is an actor, director, writer, producer, and has added author to the list as well with a brand new book written with his brother Jay entitled Like Brothers. Mark Duplass joins us. Mark, welcome back.
How's it going, Rich?
Outstanding. How you like that band?
I don't like those guys. I don't like the lead singer's voice. He sounds funny.
We just discovered them, a terrific band called Volcano. I'm still excited. I think they're going to catch on.
I don't think so. They've been defunct for 12 years, and I can no longer fit into the Dickies pants I used to wear on stage. Thank you very much.
Sorry to hear that. Well, my goodness, everybody is raving about the book, Like Brothers. You wrote it with Jay Duplass. How long have you known your co-writer?
It's been about 41 years, or more or less. It is my lifelong collaboration, for better or for worse.
Yeah, and you guys write about your growing up period and what got you into making films and telling stories together, and then a lot about the creative process. Was it you were 7 and Jay was 11 when your dad brought a video camera into the house?
Yeah, I think, you know, like most dads in the 80s, he didn't really know how to use the electronics, so he just let us figure it out. And I think we got the early starts of filmmaking then, and I think you can look at some filmmakers like the Coen brothers or Steven Spielberg, and in their early films, you can really see the geniuses they would become. That was not the case at all with our movies, which were all horrific for the next 20 years. But eventually, somewhere in our late 20s, we kind of figured out if we started making fun of ourselves on camera, people tended to like that. So we made a career out of it.
Now, our producer, Carrie, is shopping for a house in New Orleans right now. He can't get out of here and get there fast enough. How did growing up in New Orleans help shape you guys and nurture your creativity?
Well, you know, we grew up in the suburbs, and what was great about that is we were kind of free to roam and figure out the artists we wanted to be, you know. And needless to say, it's a very culturally rich city. But I would say more our time in Austin, Texas, in the mid-90s, when guys like Richard Linklater were really paving the way for independent film, you know, just regular guys with bad jeans and bad haircuts of moderate intelligence and moderate looks were being successful. And that really made us feel like, whoa, if some genetic B-minuses like us can make it, then, you know, this is really an exciting time.
What are the things you guys have learned in this journey through the years that can be useful to other people working their way up and hoping to find whether it's a career in film or in television or anything creative?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we started writing this book, we really felt like, you know, like everybody has 500 movies on their Netflix queue and TV shows, and they got 100 books they want to read. So if we're going to do this, we should try to make it semi-useful. And I think that, you know, the one thing we do know quite a bit about is how to come from nowhere with no connections and push that boulder up the mountain and turn it into something. And this book is a detailed account of how we did that in the film business, but it could really apply to any other independent artist or even startup trade, because it's really at its core about why, at least in our experience, it was so important to collaborate closely with someone you love to help you in that sort of really just indefatigable journey of trying to become a success in a world where we knew nothing about it. I mean, Hollywood was just was Mars to us, and we had to figure it out on our own.
Now, not every brother or even sister combination works out. You know, there are horror stories about the Everly brothers barely speaking to each other, breaking up on stage. Why have you two been able to work so closely and make it work personally as well?
I think we had to write a book to try and figure that out, and I still don't think we've figured it out. Some of it has to do with the feeling of being overwhelmed by trying to trying to become successful in an industry that's so competitive. We felt we needed each other. Part of it is, I think, is the way that we were raised. You know, I mean, my parents just taught us to be sort of kind and respectful and speak nicely to each other, and you know, I think one thing that's been interesting about this book is, you know, Jay and I are actually quite different people, but we've been able to put our differences aside for the greater good of staying together and trying to make something useful. So in that way, I think the book is kind of a larger think piece about collaboration and learning how to get along in a time when, you know, we are seeing massive personality and differences in people in our families, you know. So it was really fun to kind of show how we made it work and see if we could find a connection point for other people.
But you've walked that walk in the world as well, and we talked about it last time you were on. You've reached out to people on the opposite side politically and tried to find common ground with them and try to avoid the name-calling. And certainly it looks like the most success you've had with that has been in doing good deeds. You recently raised enough money to start a library in Nepal. And is it on that area that right and left can come together and do some good?
That's what I'm currently finding is the lowest common denominator of connection. I mean, things are pretty raw right now. So rather than open political conversations, my feeling is like, all right, I think one thing we can all agree on is starving and needy children need places to sleep and books and education and healthcare. And that's been a very easy thing. So, you know, I've been lucky enough to partner with people, you know, like Glenn Beck, who I could not disagree with more politically, quite frankly, but I just find to be a really generous person who likes to take care of people who need help. And so that's where we're trying to start. I mean, we're not like changing the world or anything, but we're doing little things, and it's been nice.
We're talking with Mark Duplass here on Downtown. The book is called Like Brothers, also opening today all over the country, a brand new movie. My goodness, talk about talented people assembling. Jason Reitman, Diablo Cody, Charlize Theron, you, Ron Livingston. Tell us about Tully.
Yeah, Tully is really an essential movie about motherhood. And, you know, there's a lot of tales about how gorgeous and rewarding it can be. But this is the other side when it can really crush you. And Charlize was just amazing. You know, she really dove into this thing, and she put on 50 pounds for the role to tell the story of a woman who has a third child that maybe she didn't really want, and how is she going to deal with that and find herself in that? So it's dark comedy, and it's a really beautiful movie.
You and Jay have also produced a wonderful documentary series on Netflix. I loved Wild Wild Country, and now coming out in just, I think, a week from today, Evil Genius, which looks tremendous as well.
Yeah, we've always been fans of documentaries, but quite frankly, I've been sort of fearful to make them because they take so long to get them right, but we've been able to partner with some younger filmmakers, which is a lot of what we've been doing lately, and make these two series, and they're really, really exciting. I think Wild Wild Country in particular is one of the things I'm most proud of we've made in the past few years.
How beneficial is it to do a documentary on a platform like Netflix where you can take the time to tell the story and you're not trying to fit the story into a specific slot?
Yeah, I mean, Netflix has been a seminal partner for us. Ted Sarandos, who runs that company, bought our first tiny little movie, The Puffy Chair, which we shot in Down East Maine, and we shot in Bangor House, right on French Street, right across from the park there, where, you know, my sister-in-law Mary Budd lives, and they bought that movie from us, and I've maintained a close relationship with them, and they have grown exponentially, and they've still kept us in the family, and we're really, really lucky to have them as a partner because, you know, they drop a movie and it goes into 180 countries, and to get those kinds of eyeballs today is just, you know, it's very unique.
One of your upcoming collaborations with Netflix, I believe, is a film you're doing with Ray Romano?
Yeah, we do a series of original films for Netflix, and there's a, you know, I can't say too much about it, we haven't leaked the plot yet, but it's kind of an ultimate buddy movie with me and Ray Romano. And Jay and I are always obsessed with the sort of male intimacy. That's a big topic in Like Brothers, and it's also a topic in the movie we wanted to make with Ray.
I also love the first season of Room 104 on HBO. It's such a great anthology series, a throwback to the stuff I grew up on or wish I'd grown up on, like Alfred Hitchcock Presents and The Twilight Zone. I exposed some new directors to their opportunities, and you're already working on the second season, is that right?
Yeah, we're working on the second and the third season simultaneously, and fun fact is Lauren Budd, who is a Bangor native, at 19 years old was interning at our company and wrote a script that was so good that we produced it for the second season. So she's one of the youngest female writers to ever have an episode of TV produced. And also with our book, she was very helpful in editing the book with me. And and her mother, Mary, who's, I was referencing my sister-in-law, when she was staying at our house, we were trying to figure out what the title of the book was going to be, and she wrote it down on a sticky note and left it on my kitchen counter, and that ended up being the title of the book. So a lot of deep Bangor connections on this one.
No question about it, and you guys have paved new ground, too. Not many books have had a trailer before.
Yeah, they said, you want to make a trailer for your book? And we said, what the hell is that? I don't know what that means. And they said, just think of a movie trailer and come up with something for your book. And I mean, we're so busy right now. We had zero time. So Jay and I met at the office, and we just said, look, we'll set aside 2 hours and we'll figure it out. And that was actually really fun because we shot it all on our iPhones, just the two of us. And it felt again like we were, you know, 7 and 11 years old, kind of running around with our dad's video camera, which is an energy as our company grows, we're continually trying to tap into to grow ourselves, to offer opportunities to younger filmmakers, to do what we can, but at the same time, like, try not to lose a little bit of that, like, childlike fun that is where we built this thing from in the first place.
The book is called Like Brothers by Mark and Jay Duplass, and obviously it's to learn about you and to talk about your childhood, the process, to share what's worked for you as filmmakers and as creative people. What did you learn about yourselves in the writing of the book?
I think the interesting thing that happened while we were writing this book is that we were making a TV show called Togetherness for HBO, and it got canceled. And that was when Jay and I were at the height of our collaboration, spending 13 hours a day together, best friends, brothers, business partners. And when that show went away, for the first time, we started to question, do we have to be as close as we are now? Is it possible we could find some personal space? And what we thought was going to be a book that was essentially a treatise on the powers of collaboration turned into a larger question about all the greatness we've got out of it, but some of the individuality that we have lost in our own personal self. So it was fun to write, but it was a little bit painful at times too. So like our movies, I guess it's funny, but it's got its bittersweet moments too.
Well, you mentioned Togetherness, and I've told you this before. That was such a tremendous series. I was so sad to see it go away after two seasons, but I feel like that's one of those series, much like something like Freaks and Geeks, that people are going to discover if they didn't see it the first time around and say, this is incredible writing and acting. How did this not last a decade? Although it probably would have killed you if it did.
I think it would have, or even worse, maybe I would have kept making it because the money would have been so good, and it would have just started to get really, really bad and stale and creatively lame. So maybe it's better they killed us while we were at the top of our game.
Mark Duplass, it's always fun for us to talk with you. Look forward to seeing Tully. The book is Like Brothers. Get it, and we know you'll love that. Mark, as always, we appreciate you making time for us.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mark Duplass here on Downtown.